Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for whatever message you have given Joey to share with us today. We ask that you just empower him through the Holy Spirit to speak the words that you desire him to speak. Speak through him, Lord Jesus, to our hearts. Let us have ears to hear. Let us listen with confidence and willingness. Bless him as he shares with us this morning, Lord. Give him peace as he does so. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Hello? There we go. Okay. 24 minutes. Well, a few weeks ago, I asked Brad, "Okay, Brad, my preaching is coming up. What are we going to be talking about? What should I do?" He said, "Joey, I'd like you to preach on an aspect of the gospel that you feel passionate about. Go to it." So, okay, here we go. So you can title this sermon, "The Aspect of the Gospel That Joey Is Most Passionate About." Okay. I'll try not to rush so that can actually get something out of this morning. I'm just going to ask a question. You don't have to yell out the answer. Why did Jesus have to die? I'm sure we've all got an answer in our heads. This is a rhetorical question for now. I just want you to think about it. Why did Jesus have to die? We're going to read our text this morning. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. We'll have it up there. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too," talking of Christ, "he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." I want to talk about the incarnation this morning. The incarnation, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word incarnation, but the incarnation I'm talking about is the event whereby God, divine God, took on humanity, took on a human nature. Now, he did this for several reasons, and that's what we generally refer to as the gospel. He came to die for our sins and bring salvation to man, all that wonderful stuff. But the thing that we don't necessarily put a lot of attention on, especially here in the Protestant West, is the fact that God became human. And if I ask you, why is it so important that God becomes human? I wonder what your answer would be. This was actually a very, very serious, very important discussion in the early church, because there were, as with everything else, a whole whack of heresies that came up that were starting to say that Christ wasn't actually human. And one of these was called Docetism. It was the belief that Jesus' body was an illusion, and so was his death on the cross. This eventually found its way into Gnosticism. There was another one called Monophysitism, and this was the thought that Christ's divinity overwhelms his humanity. Yes, he was technically human, but he was God. And so he was so much God that, in essence, he lost his humanity. This was condemned at the Council of Ephesus in 451 as a heresy. There was another heresy called Apollinarianism. And Apollinarius, in 390, he had this brilliant, what he thought, idea, was that Jesus technically had a body, and he obviously had emotions, but he didn't have a human mind. It was so important to Apollinarius that Jesus' mind was not human. And so this was condemned at the Second Ecumenical Council in 381. And the church had to put down these heresies because each one of them taught that Christ wasn't fully human. And this was extremely important. And the question is, why is it so important that Christ be human? Well, if we go back to our reading this morning, I can see four things why Christ had to be human. We read that he had to be human because he had to die. And he had to die to destroy him who had the power of death. He had to become human to release those who were in bondage. He had to become human in order to become our high priest. A priest is a representative of man before God. How can you be a priest if you're not a human? This was the picture that God implemented, instituted in the old temple worship. A high priest being a representative before God of man. And he had to become human, it says in our text, it says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So he was tempted, so he can help us when we are tempted. So I'll ask the question again, why did Jesus have to die? Again, don't answer. Now I want to look at it from another angle. I'm going to take the incarnation and we're going to look at it through the picture of marriage. I figured that was an appropriate thing to do this morning. I'm going to tell you a quick story about my second date with my wife. We had just spent a Saturday going to various pavilions at Folklorama. That was an enjoyable time. We went back to her apartment, where we spent the next several hours talking, getting to know each other. But we did so, she was sitting on one end of the couch and I was on the way opposite end of the couch. There was this massive gulf between us. And we joke about it to this day and we have a good chuckle. And you know what, it's definitely not a bad thing for one person to sit on one end of the couch and the other person to sit on the other end of the couch. But The thing was that it was such a new experience for me to be with a girl, because not only was this my second date with my wife, this was my second date ever. And I was a bit nervous, but we had a good talk, and when I said goodbye in the evening, I was too nervous and I didn't even give her a hug, I didn't shake her hand, I just gave her a nod and left. But I bring this up because it wasn't normality for me to be in close proximity with a girl. But as we spent time together, I found myself wanting to be around her more and more and more. And it was less than 3 months later we were engaged and things progressed quickly from there. But as we were getting to know each other, we just fell more in love and more in love. And as the marriage was approaching, I found that I couldn't spend even a day without being in her presence. I wanted to be around her all the time. There was nothing I could do to get close enough to her. And there's this other aspect of marriage, that once you're married, something spiritual takes place. And you become unified together in such a way that you can't imagine your life without the other person. And that's a very special thing. And God instituted it this way because it is a picture of him and us. We are often called the bride of Christ as the church in the New Testament. The people of Israel were often called the bride of Jehovah in the Old Testament. And whether or not you think these are two separate things, the fact of the matter is the people of God are often referred to as the bride of Christ. So I ask again, why did Jesus have to die? Well, it's written elsewhere in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And I think it's a very popular verse. And it's true. I'm not discounting that verse. But we have to go a bit beyond that verse because the blood of goats and rams and everything the Lord instituted in the old temple worship didn't remit sins, did it? So it's not the fact that blood has to be shed in order for sins to be forgiven. That's not the only thing, but it's whose blood has to be shed. And this is important because Mr. Joe Ordinary, I could say that, that's my name, couldn't die for my sins. He's got his own sins to atone for. So we need a sinless sacrifice before God. So why didn't God simply come to earth as a lamb? He could be incarnated as a lamb and get sacrificed, and then our sins would be forgiven. Well, that seems kind of ridiculous to us. He became human because he needed to become our high priest, and he wanted to share in our humanity. In our reading this morning, it says, for this reason, it says in verse 16, for surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Christ didn't die for the angels. And because he helps Abraham's descendants, for this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a high priest. The early church had a saying. They said, that which is not assumed cannot be redeemed. And I think that goes hand in glove with this verse. If Christ did not become human, he couldn't redeem humanity. If he didn't die, he couldn't redeem death. Here's something that I don't know how often we think about, but Jesus didn't just come to earth to die. He came to take on our humanity so that he could become our high priest. I'm going to ask again, why did Jesus have to die? I think most of us would say because somebody needed to die to save us from our sins. Because we have sinned, we have gone against a holy God, there needs to be atonement made for our sins. I am not disputing that. That is a great answer. But I want us to think this morning about how awesome God is. There is nothing above God, no creature, no principality, no power, no rule, and no law. The fact that God sent his Son to die for our sins does not reflect the fact that God is obeying some law of the universe that is over and above him. He didn't look at humanity and say, Oh my goodness, they've sinned. Let me look in my book. How do I remit sins? Oh, I need to shed the blood of my son. This isn't a rule or a law that is above God. So why did Jesus have to die? Go back to the marriage idea. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In the same way that I couldn't get close enough to my wife when I was getting to know her, God loves us so much that he wants to get as close as he can to us, as close as possible. How else could he do that than by becoming human? So I'm gonna throw in a thought here. Why did Jesus have to die? Because he chose to have to die. Listen, God could have made a button up in heaven, a red button, that when he pushes it, humanity's sins gets remitted. God can do this. He could set the universe up this way, where he could forgive us from afar. But that would deny him the pleasure of being united with us in such an intimate way. So he set it up that a sacrifice had to be made, and he instituted the Old Testament sacrificial system to point to the New Testament sacrificial system. And in the incarnation, Christ comes and fulfills that. And he takes on our human nature. And because he becomes human, he can be our high priest before God. And now, not only is God united with man in that way, it becomes possible that man can become united with God. You see, folks, it's not just about getting our sins forgiven. That's a great and wonderful thing about the gospel. But the gospel is good news all around. And the good news is that God loved us so much that he took on our nature in order to get as close to us as possible. And in doing so, we can now share an experience with him, and not just here on this earth, but for eternity. I like the picture in Revelation 21, verse 9. I'm just going to quickly turn there. It's the passage about New Jerusalem. And I never saw this for years. I knew about New Jerusalem and all the crystals everywhere and the river flowing through it. And I always thought, wow, this is a great picture of heaven. And it very well may be. I'm not discounting that. But in chapter 21, verse 9, it says, John writes, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" And then he proceeds to describe the New Jerusalem. Folks, that is us. That is the church. That is the church here, and that is the church in a much more significant way after Christ returns, and we get to experience that. Why did Jesus have to die? Because he loved us so much that he chose to have to die. That entire system was invented by God so that he could get as close to us as possible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul makes a small statement here. He says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Folks, that is our goal in our life here on this earth. It is not solely about getting your sins forgiven. That's a great starting point. But the fact that Christ became human and our sins are forgiven gives us the rare opportunity to become united with him in his spirit. The early church wrote about this idea. They used the term theosis, means being united with Christ. Christ said, I am the vine and you are the branches. We need to be united with him in order to have life. It is not a one-time event. It is a lifetime of becoming more and more united with Christ. And that is possible because Christ has descended from on high and has taken on our humanity. And in that, we gain salvation and we gain this theosis, which is such a marvelous, marvelous idea. So we become united in Christ in the same manner that human marriage unites two individuals. And we're celebrating a marriage here this afternoon, and it's a wonderful thing. And in the same way that humans can't marry cows, and humans can't marry dogs, humans have to marry humans. In order to get married to someone, you have to share their nature. And I just love it so much that Christ took on our nature in order to become that united with us, which shows his great love for us. And that we're told that God is love. And I think too often we have this tendency to focus on the fact that we have sinned and God's wrath has to be appeased. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that picture, but it leaves out the entirety of God's tremendous love. Because God is love, and so he set it up this way so that he could demonstrate that love in the most intimate way possible. My time is up. Thank you all.
Meditating on that this week, Joey, thank you. Yeah, the reason that we're and what I really got a sense of, Joey, is how you are meditating on the gospel. And I think that's something that the Lord's calling us into in these days. Our salvation is precious. We have this great precious salvation, and the Lord's the one who accomplished it all. And to the extent that he went to accomplish reconciliation with us, that nearness, that love that we can experience in the Spirit, we need to know that. Because others who don't know that need to hear about it. They need to understand it. Just by observing our lives, they need to understand that. And so I believe the Lord's wanting us to kind of come back to the joy of our salvation. Amen? And so in these days, my encouragement is meditate on the gospel. Meditate on what the Lord's done. And, you know, meditate on some scriptures that talk about Christ's work for you. And let's kind of sit in this a bit. Thank you, Joey. Let's pray. Let's stand together. Jesus, you're the embodiment of love. Yeah, you are the Word made flesh, the Word love in all of its entirety we can understand in you. And Lord, we thank you that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Lord, we thank you that you became sin. that we might become the righteousness of God, all that we might be near to the Father, to have this barrier taken down, this intimacy, Lord. We want to know more, the intimate relationship with the Father. We want to know the reasons for which you came and died. And so take us there, Lord. Holy Spirit, usher us into a place where we can know you more. We ask for your help in this, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Build in us a passion and a burden for the gospel again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me release you with a blessing. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace and be back here at 1 o'clock for a big party.